You know, I think we sort of tout that we're the fempire. You know, we're women managers, we're women employees, we're women bosses, and I think we sort of relate to each other in a way that I'm not sure many women relate to each other. You know, I think that really helps in being empathic in terms of how we deal with each other from bosses to employees.
I'm Michelle King, and you are listening to She Innovates. It's a show that shares the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women and men across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Have you ever wondered what a workplace designed for women and run by women would look like? What about an all-women-owned business that generates $1 million in annual revenue? This may be hard to imagine given that only 2% of women-run companies break the $1 million mark. And while the odds are stacked against women entrepreneurs, the good news is that this kind of success already exists. On today's podcast, we'll be unpacking what this workplace looks like with founder and CEO of the interior marketing group, Cheryl Aysen. On this episode, we're going to uncover how Cheryl built a culture that supports and empowers women and why this is critical to the organization's success.
I started this company because I sold real estate in New York City and realized that it sold much faster if I staged it. And the success from that grew like in a viral way when customers would come see the spaces that I staged to buy real estate or to sell it as brokers and ask if I would stage their properties. And it just sort of took off from there. And that was 10 years ago.
When Cheryl started out, she took on many different roles in trying to build her business. This experience gave her a broad range of skills, and it's something that she believes is really important for all women entrepreneurs.
I was an intern, I was an advertising person, a salesperson, you know, I sort of did everything like an entrepreneur does have to. And then, you know, I think by year three or four, there's like maybe three of us, you know, not everyone full time. And after 10 years now, we're almost 100 employees. But I think it just started snowballing sort of after the first initial press started picking up on us. And it sort of spiraled from there. So we went from maybe 3 1 year to 6 people the next, to 12 people the next, to 24 people the next. And it just grew very rapidly, almost every year, probably after year 4 or so.
As most entrepreneurs know, the key to success in the first 5 years of any business is sustaining growth while managing cash flow, which is something that can be extremely difficult to do. In running IMG, Cheryl was determined to build a financially independent, successful business where women could thrive. Here, Cheryl reveals how she grew her business and ensured that it remained self-funded.
You know, I think I had learned a lot of lessons, especially from a financial perspective and a growth perspective from my first two companies where they didn't last more than 10 years. So I learned a lot from that. This company continues to be completely self-funded. The company has zero debt. We're just a self-running organization. You know, I just completely relied on the income of the company, which means running a very frugal organization for several years, sort of the Warren Buffett thesis of business growth. So we still remain very frugal, but most of the income from the company sort of goes right back into the company, investing in not only people growth and benefits, but also into inventory and rent, and the rest of it's run very frugally. So we're a very lean organization. I also think because it's grown so slowly and we didn't sort of overextend year by year. We really were careful in how quickly we were growing, financially careful. We were able to sustain that kind of growth on, you know, nothing but the extra income the company earned.
At IMG, women make up the majority of the employee population and leadership team. And Cheryl believes that empowering women to be managers, whether in a male-dominated industry or not, is very important. Cheryl says one of the key enablers of IMG's success is the culture, which was built to support women to thrive.
I think as a woman-run organization, you know, I think the culture of the company is born from the founder. And I think the, you know, the stronger the founder's personality, the more that permeates throughout the corporate culture of any company, especially startups. And maybe it's our field that it's interior design that we happen to have, 90% women in this company, which is remarkable. And, you know, I encourage growth and I empower women in our organization to sort of write their own story in terms of a career path. Many of the people who join our company start as interns and they learn the business step by step throughout every part of our business. And then they grow into a role they feel like they can sort of spearhead. So for example, the woman who now runs our interior design division started as an intern and just sort of organically grew into that role. And she found an interest in that and she spearheaded that division. And now it's 5 people large. Same thing with the art department. One of the women said, I think I want to start an art department because we're doing so much art. And now that's 5 people large, that division. You know, we're women managers, we're women employees, we're women bosses. And I think we sort of relate to each other in a way that I'm not sure many women relate to each other. You know, I think that really helps in being empathic in terms of how we deal with each other from bosses to employees. And I think that says a lot. The other thing is I think all of women in this organization and as women entrepreneurs in general, I think have many sacrifices to make. And that's something that's very real that I don't think people realize when they are female entrepreneurs, that it takes an enormous amount of time that would otherwise maybe go towards, you know, family and other things that really has to be sacrificed in order to grow a company if that's your goal. It took years and years of just nose to the grindstone, not having any social life or any love life. It was just really focused exclusively on work. And I think that was one of the reasons that this company, I think, is so successful. And I think the women in our organization also sort of have some same sacrifices that they've been making to become successful in this company.
IMG's culture is not something that just happened. Cheryl was very intentional about building an environment where women's needs were met and where they felt empowered to lead.
I think when women see the corporation and how it's structured and how relaxed that environment is, in a way, I think it attracts more women. I just think that's sort of like the nature of, you know, how it would work. I also think of some level of comfort and relaxation around just being surrounded by fellow women versus being supervised by men. I don't know if that's stifling or not, but I think women bosses relate to women employees differently than male bosses relate to women employees and vice versa.
When it comes to inclusive work practices, it's not just the women who benefit. According to research by the consulting firm Accenture, men are 2 times more likely to rise to senior management positions in cultures that support equality. This type of culture is designed to support and encourage women to be themselves.
Our CFO is a man and he has, you know, a wife and he has like 4 children and they're all women. So he's used to being surrounded completely by women. He understands how we operate. And so I think that was a huge benefit to, you know, having him join a company that's mostly women. I don't think a man maybe from like the male dominated industry, maybe like finance, would find it easy to translate into this company to, you know, acclimate. I think it would be a culture shock. I think one of the main reasons is that women were brought up to be a little more comfortable expressing our emotions, or at least in my generation. So I think we all feel a little freer to express ourselves and be emotional beings, a la Sheryl Sandberg. And I think that gives us some sort of a level of freedom and empowerment just because of that.
Once you have built a unique workplace culture, the difficult part is actually keeping it. Cultures are dependent on employees, and if they leave, then your culture can change too. Over the years, IMG has managed to keep employees in the organization and sustain its culture by intentionally developing women's career paths.
You know, as you succeed, if there's an opening in a role above where you are now, you're evaluated in advance. I think the way we work is when interns start, they're mentored by the people who are at the next level of management above them. And so are the managers at that level, mentored by the female managers above them. So I think, you know, in some sort of rotation, we're all mentoring each other. And I play a very hands-on role in laying out how that will look. So, you know, I have people over to my house and we discuss, you know, how it's going and what I see for the future of the company and how we can be better. And, you know, I think it's empowering and it feels very comfortable and free because we all can sit in a very casual setting and still relate to each other in that way.
IMG is an empowering female-dominated workplace, and even male managers at the highest level are managed by women. This is why when IMG hires new employees, a lot of time is spent ensuring that they will fit into the organization's culture.
I feel like empowering women to be managers, whether it's a male-dominated industry or not, I think is something that's very important. I think our company, and maybe it's industry-specific because we're in a creative industry as we are, maybe just organically created a female-run environment and grew that way. We certainly interview men who come in to become part of the company, and we just consider people based on their qualifications and their, you know, if they'll fit in our culture or not. You know, it just so happens that one day we looked around and said, wow, we're all women. And so we sort of jokingly named it this empire. But I think it's proving in our company to be enormously successful. Now, whether that has to do with the fact that we're all women bosses, I don't know. I will say this. Our two main competitors here in New York who started 10 years ago at the same time my company started are male-run companies. And we've grown to be 100 employees and very successful. And they are too, but they're more like 10 employees. So it's an interesting juxtaposition and statistic that we're looking at.
The key to IMG's success with advancing women has been the intentional focus on long-term career planning, which is something that Cheryl believes all businesses can undertake.
I really hope to hear more stories like this company story. I keep my ears open, and it's just exciting to see how what's going on in the world right now with women and the Me Too movement, you know, hopefully how that will change things within the next several years for women in business. I just would love to see how, you know, how we take charge and we turn this into some very powerful success stories.
In 2017, TechCrunch released a study which found that only 17% of venture-backed startups had a female founder, a statistic that has not changed in the last 5 years. For women entrepreneurs, getting your ideas off the ground can be an incredibly lonely road, which is why it is so important to share the advice and stories of successful female founders. Here, Cheryl shares her advice for women entrepreneurs who are just starting out.
I mean, for any entrepreneur, I think, A, have a very clear-cut business plan that really speaks to unique sales proposition. I think that's business 101. Two, understand funding and in your business plan, have a clear plan of financials. I also think as a woman-owned business, there are definitely financial advantages that you can, you know, sort of apply for woman-owned business, you know, loans and other opportunities and networking things. But I think that sort of is one area I haven't pursued personally, but I think it's out there. And I think the third is just manage your expectations as to how hard it is to build a company and a successful one. And don't be afraid to make mistakes, you know, along the way and absolutely learn from them. I think just in any business as well, like if I didn't absolutely love what I do, I think it would be much more difficult to endure the sacrifices that I've had to. But loving what I do every morning, waking up and being excited to meet these people and work with these women, it's everything. And it really drives me. And I think everyone feels the same way about when they wake up in the morning to come to this company. I think that's important. Build culture of growth and support. I think that means everything as well.
There are so many great takeaways from this interview with Cheryl. For me, the key theme from our conversation is the importance of being intentional when it comes to workplace culture. Whether that's building long-term career paths, mentoring programs, or retention schemes, all these initiatives have to have the intention of advancing all women at work. And while these initiatives may look different in each of our workplaces, the underlying aim should be the same. On today's Fairy Godboss segment, we are going to be talking about why social support is so important for female founders. In the United States, female entrepreneurs continue to be underrepresented in relation to men. And while female-founded companies yield high financial returns, the number of venture-backed companies founded by women continues to decline. Support for women-owned businesses is critical, but building relationships with other female founders is equally important. Here are three reasons why female founders should seek each other out. First, role modeling is a huge deal. Female entrepreneurs really benefit from informal mentors who've been there and can provide advice and support. Secondly, the best type of support is actually real-life experience. And while every company and industry is different, many women face challenges that men do not. Consequently, having female support is critical. Finally, women often support other women and pay it forward in ways that men might not. That's not to say the advice from men is not helpful and important, but sometimes sharing certain hardships and vulnerabilities is a bonding experience that encourages women to go out of their way to support each other. I really hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I can't believe we're approaching the end of the year in a few weeks, and I'm definitely looking forward to the break. Please stay tuned for some major announcements from our team. We can't wait to share the exciting updates with all of you. Thanks again, guys, and I'll catch you all again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.